In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been created for Thee. I exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works. And I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, lesson number 106, the fifth commandment, and the image is of Cain killing his brother Abel. And the caption reads, "The first murderer on earth was committed by Cain when he slew Abel. And Cain said to Abel his brother, 'Let us go forth abroad.' And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him. And the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is thy brother Abel?' And he answered, 'I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?'" From Genesis chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. Murderers do not act as brothers of the murdered. Okay, this is the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. What are we commanded by the fifth commandment? By the fifth commandment, we are commanded to take proper care of our spiritual and bodily well-being and that of our neighbor. Sins included in his commandment are many, such as murder, suicide, anger, fighting, hatred, scandal, and bad example. What is murder? Murder is the voluntary and unjust killing of a human being. Murder is a great sin. A murderer violates the rights of God over human life, and besides taking a life, robs his victim of the opportunity to gain merits for heaven and prepare himself for death. God created man and has supreme dominion over life. You know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. From 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. The indirect intention to kill an innocent person is always forbidden, as against this commandment, whether it be by public or private authority. And the human body may not be mutilated unless that were the only way to preserve the health or save a life. Also, since violation of the body is forbidden except to save life or health, anyone performing sterilization commits grave sin. However sick a person may be, and even at his own request to relieve him of pain, no one, not even the government itself, may take his life. Some would propagate the idea of euthanasia, what they term mercy killing, a direct and deliberate killing of those in great pain of the defective, moronic, or otherwise incapacitated. Such, quote, mercy killers are murderers who usurp the rights of God over life. A mother bearing a child should be very careful to protect and preserve the life of her child. As the soul is created at the very moment of conception, anything willfully done which results in the death of even an unborn child is murder. Not even to save the mother's life may an unborn child be killed by direct abortion. If the death of the child results secondarily in an attempt to save the mother's life, and after all precautions have been taken to safeguard the child, this is indirect abortion and is permitted. For grave cause. In the United States, one pregnancy out of three ends in abortion. For it is lawful to kill animals for food, because God has given them for the use of man. The fifth commandment forbids the killing only of human beings. God himself commanded the killing of animals for sacrifice after having given this commandment. It is our duty to care for animals, refrain from tormenting them, and from killing any useful animal without reason. But we must not lavish on them exaggerated affection, as if they were idols. When is it lawful to take another's life? It is lawful to take another's life, one, in self-defense, or the defense of another unjustly attacked. A woman may kill to protect herself against criminal assault. One may defend life or property against enemies, going so far as to kill. One, however, may not do more than what is needed for defense. If wounding an assailant is sufficient, it would be wrong to kill him. One is not justified to kill in order to protect property of trifling value. Setting a trap to kill a chicken thief is murder. In executing criminals condemned by legitimate authority, society must protect itself from crime and may, through constituted authority, order a sentence of death. Private persons and mobs have no right to put anyone to death. Lynching is murder. In a just war, a nation has the right to exist and protect itself. It is lawful for it to repel by force those seeking to destroy it, and thus to defend its rights in a grave matter. Nations may also assist other nations unjustly attacked, or whose rights are encroached upon. War, however, is an evil which must not be embarked upon except as a last resort. Nations have a tendency to regard their particular side as just, even when it may not be. What is anger? Anger is a feeling of displeasure combined with a desire to punish the object of anger. Anger is contrary to the spirit of Christ, who is meek and humble of heart. We must take care not to hurt or wound another's feelings. If we fall into the misfortune of doing so, we must apologize or make amends in some other way. Quote, "Do not let the sun go down upon your anger," from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Anger often arises from pride or envy. Those who think much of themselves get angry at every supposed slight or injury. They should remember Christian charity and fear these words, quote, "Everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment," St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Unjust anger leads to fighting, hatred, quarreling, cursing, mockery, revenge, and other grave sins may even end in murder. What is hatred? Hatred is strong dislike of, or ill will towards anyone. Hatred is a kind of habitual anger. One who hates sees no good in the person hated, and would like to see evil rain down on that person, who then becomes an enemy. If we hate certain qualities of a person but have no antagonism towards the person himself, our feeling is not necessarily sinful. It is not hatred to detest the evil qualities of others. We must hate the sin, but not the sinner. We must be careful, however, not to commit rash judgment regarding qualities, as we cannot know all circumstances. Let us have charity towards all. Hatred is a sin because he who hates another violates the commandment of God. Quote, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Another quote, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer." 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. What is the sin of revenge? The sin of revenge is the desire to inflict immoderate and unjust punishment on someone who has injured us from a motive of anger. When serious, revenge is vengeance, a sin against charity and justice, most sinful and unchristian. However much we are injured, we have no right to take the law into our hands. St. Paul said, quote, "Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord," from Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Another quote, "He that shall seek to revenge himself shall find vengeance from the Lord," from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Okay. That concludes our reading of the 106th lesson on the fifth commandment. Everything seems to me to be pretty straightforward. We must be careful about our emotions, especially those of anger and hatred, vengeance. We must set those aside because they all lead towards murder. And our Lord said that the man who harbors hatred in his heart for his brother is already guilty of murder because they are so closely intertwined. So it is a serious thing that we must consider all the ramifications of the fifth commandment. And it just doesn't stop, as so many want to childishly believe, that as long as I didn't physically take my brother's life, I haven't broken the fifth commandment. And that was, I think, really the interpretation of the scribes and Pharisees. The Jews at the time of Christ had degenerated into that idea, and our Lord said, no, the truth is that your hatred and all of this is forbidden. It is all forbidden and encompassed in the commandment, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit murder. And so Christ is giving us a more perfect or a higher standard to measure ourselves up to. Do we have any questions or comments?
Your Excellency, so anyone who was guilty of suicide, I mean, would the church necessarily say that that person is lost, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. At one time, the church would say that person is lost, but our understanding of psychology and other matters, we might question the sanity of that person, whether they were acting in their right mind or whether there were some other influences that we are unaware of. And as it was pointed out to me in the seminary, we often don't know in the last moment, you know, if someone jumps off a bridge, they can repent before they hit the water. They can make an act of contrition. So we don't truly know the state of their soul. And I've read elsewhere that the church has never actually dogmatically declared that anyone is in hell. Any human being is in hell. Whereas she has dogmatically declared souls to be in heaven when she canonizes saints, she has never done the reverse and canonically stated that this soul is in hell. And consequently, she rebukes any of those who leaning in that direction. We can say objectively those who commit suicide, they have committed a grave sin, but that grave sin can still be forgiven in this life, as long as they don't die with that grave or mortal sin on their soul. There's still a chance for them to get into heaven, and the graveness of that sin can be mitigated by many things, as I point out to so many people. You know, is this a mortal sin? Is that a mortal sin? I have to remind them, what does it take to make a sin mortal? Not only is the thing serious, but you must know it is serious, and you must willfully want to do it anyway. And it's not just in the action itself, it is in the will, the deliberate intention to do this and offend God regardless of the consequences. So it's hard to say that someone did this action, therefore they're in hell, or they committed this crime, therefore they committed a mortal sin, because we don't really know the intentions, and we can't read the heart and mind as God can, and so we must be very cautious in forming those judgments. But yes, we should fear suicide, murder, all of these things, take them very seriously and truly fear falling into them, and pray that God will protect us from such things. Go ahead.
And I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like to me I read somewhere that those that are suicide are not permitted to be buried in a Catholic cemetery.
That is or was the law, but that was before the understanding of some of our psychology and the mind of the church has progressed, you might say, in that vein. What is a suicide, you know, and could they have repented? In our modern times, I'm often contemplating the idea of those who die by an overdose. Did they commit suicide? You know, they were addicted to drugs. They know if I take too much of this drug, it's going to kill me. But are they really thinking of killing themselves when they overdosed? Or are they just chasing a high that is requiring more and more or greater dosages of the drug? Are they just chasing that high, not really thinking about death or what it might do to them? You know, how conscious, how aware are they of what they are actually doing? And so I come across many people who say, oh, he killed himself with an overdose. And I think, well, did he commit suicide? Or was it an accidental overdose that he didn't really intend to overdose? But, you know, I don't know. I haven't experienced that addiction to that extent that, you know, are they really in their right mind? How culpable are they? I don't know. And of course, that's for God to judge, and it's not really my place. I'm just in sales. I'm just telling you what the laws are, what the rules are, what we should try to avoid, how we should strive to act. And yes, the person addicted to drugs, illegal drugs, should be encouraged to get off of those and to straighten out their life and to be free from that demon, that chain, if you will, of whatever drugs it is, alcohol, whatever it may be, that is taken over our life. We need to get a hold of that because that is damaging our health, and in the long run, it is against the fifth commandment.
Something else, Your Excellency, that was kind of brought up with the murder of Abel by Cain. I guess different people that I've talked to that are not Catholic, and they object against the sacrament of confession. As well, that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Really, that episode is really a confirmation of the sacrament of confession, because when God called Cain and asked where his brother was, it wasn't that God was ignorant. He was trying to elicit from Cain a confession. Can be at least somewhat accurate?
It sounds very accurate to me. Why else would God ask him but give him the opportunity to come forth with the truth?
And so since God made man, God, God knows that it's in man's psychological makeup to confess.
Yes. And it is a need that God has put there for us. Why and how, that's not really our concern. The fact is that it's there, and God has placed it there. And even non-Catholics will find the need sooner or later to confess. And Bishop Lewis used to remark that many of the insane asylums, and all they really need is a good confession. Or if you look at the so many psychologists, people go to see a psychiatrist, psychologist, these different branches of medicine. All they really need is a confession. And that's really what they do when they lay down on the couch to tell their doctor all their problems. They're just burying their soul. It's just not sacramentally. But there is like a psychological need to unburden our soul, to share our burden with someone else.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
Yeah. Something that has interested me for a long time is this mutilation idea, and just how far is mutilation, you know, is piercing someone's ears or these body piercings, is that mutilation? Is the tattooing of the body mutilation? Is the scarring of the body mutilation? Are these attacks against the health, the life of the individual? And if so, how culpable are they against the fifth commandment? And I can't give you really a blanket answer on that, but I disapprove. I find it distasteful, this body art, body modification. Again, it's going to fall down to the individual's intentions, because for it to be truly a mortal sin, it has to be serious, and you have to know it's serious and want to do it anyway. And so we have to get to the individual in each of these cases. But for anyone who has not been tattooed, I think it is a shame that they would even consider it, that they would want to mutilate their body in some way for, I don't know, fashion, to fit in, to express their individuality, whatever it may be. Their body, as I see it, is a temple of the Holy Ghost, or it should be a temple of the Holy Ghost, and the temple should be simple, clean, unmutilated, as it came forth from the hand of God. And so I think there's not enough emphasis really on the fact that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are sacred. Our bodies are not really our own. I know we use that very often in the case argument against abortion, that the child in the mother's womb is not her body. It is another body. It's not her own. And so she's not free to do whatever she wants with that child, because it's not even hers. Her whole argument that this is my body and I can do with it what I please, it is incorrect, because that child is not her body, but a completely different body from hers. And so we need, I think, to perhaps reconsider so many of the things our society and our fashions are throwing in our face, and really consider that in the degree that they are harmful to the health or the life of the body, they are serious sins. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
No? Really, even our own body is not really our own. Nope. Made by God, it really belongs to God.
It belongs to God, and only He has the right to take our life from us. Yeah.
So really, only He has the right to change it around, if He so pleases.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Well, let us end with an act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.